This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. Well, we've had a chance to see how things panned out for a few teams. You know, we're a little deeper into the season, but let's jump right into awards. C&G Road Grader of the Week. It's got to go to the two kids out at Western. A really, really big performance against Charlottesville.
Yeah, you got to see them, Austin Shiflett, running for, what was it, 240 yards?
240.
Four touchdowns, and that's the big boys up front. Sarah Brown, Clay Nolan, you pointed them out.
Yeah, Sarah Brown and Clay Nolan, both not huge linemen. This is very typical for this Western team this year. It's a bunch of smaller technical guys. They're quick. They cut well. They cut off. They reach well. They kind of get into things. You know, when Shiflett starts running, he's very adept at kind of staying in the hip pocket of the guards. And Clay Nolan and Sager Brown are two guys that are often out there leading him.
And that's becoming a thing for a lot of programs is getting guys that you know, the way offensive linemen used to look, like in the 1980s, and 90s, before the Cowboys made everybody mandatory 300-pound linemen. You're with the roster numbers, you're going to have to find athletes that, at their size, can be productive. And you can make that work when you're athletic and your footwork's great. You don't have to be some towering giant. I mean, you're not going to have five Tony Thurstons down the line to work with.
Good thing if you can get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nolan and Brown are quicker guys. They've played some, you know, either skill positions or they played defensive end before. They're guys who are very active on the defensive side. They cause a lot of havoc. But on offense, they are really leading the way for, you know, a rushing attack that really found its legs against Charlottesville behind Shiflett.
Yeah, and that's an offensive line that had to replace Luke Tenuta.
Yeah.
So obviously that's a big hole there for these guys to come up and do what they did.
They're not the towering kids that they were last year, Tenuta in particular. But, you know, they know what they can do. They're very good at running it. They ran a lot of trap type stuff, some counter type stuff, and when you're running that stuff out of shotgun and the running back has a chance to kind of see, you know, where he's going, see what's happening, I think that's a lot of fun. And anytime you've got a pulling guard, you're really doing your best to kind of help out a young tailback, a guy like Shiflett that's only a sophomore. And it doesn't hurt that it has really sunk in. I wrote about it in the game story. It's really sunk in for that kid that he's got to stay behind his lineman. He can't run outside, you know, and just kind of try and make things happen on his own. He's really kind of sticking within the game plan, and that worked really well against, you know, a Charlottesville team that's had defensive struggles already this year. We know that they've got, you know, some work going, but in a game where you're going head-to-head running backs-wise with Sabias Foley, you know, a pretty good showing for the Shiflett. You know, they obviously were kind of getting things moving. They were able to move the ball when they wanted to, kind of control the clock, and that is the game plan that Ed Redmond talks about going into this year. Play defense, control the ball, and they got it going in a big way.
Yeah, and the results are pretty good for them so far. One of the few teams with a winning record 4 weeks into the season. So they got to be happy with the results. I mean, we saw in training camp how excited they were about this group of talent, this core group, and it seems like things are working out quite well for them early on.
For, you know, so that's the C&G Road Grader of the Week, Sager Brown and Clay Nolan, the Western Albar combination up there in the line. And then Offensive Player of the Week, it came in a loss, but just considering how far this guy's come since last year where he kind of got off to a rough start at quarterback, you know, he got a win, but got off to a rough start, and Jaquan Anderson kind of stepped back in there. DeQuandre Taylor, incredible amount of growth that guy's made over the last year. It ended in some heartbreak last night against Patrick Henry at Roanoke, but a heck of a performance. 21 carries, 207 yards, two touchdowns. He threw a passing touchdown as well. That was a huge one. He hit Bruce McLean for a 66-yarder to help set it up. And he did everything he could. Pick six at the end, but that does not erase the other span that guy put together.
Yeah, and that's what we've been waiting for on Albemarle. I mean, the other two games that they played against Mountain View and Colonial Forge, offensively, they just haven't been able to get going. And we're getting to see Albemarle, hey, they've got some pieces, and Taylor's maybe the biggest part to the whole puzzle. What's this team going to look like when they jump out of this schedule? We'll get to find out very shortly with Louisa. But, I mean, yeah, Albemarle's played such a tough schedule up front. If you see Taylor doing that against Patrick Henry, it makes you wonder, you know, transitive properties, what's that going to look like against a Western team, a Charlottesville team, and so forth.
I think it's really a 1-2 combination with him and Mekhi Washington. Like, you have to load up against Washington, and so then, you know, Taylor slips out the backside, or they fake it to Mekhi, and then Mekhi is this bulldozer who can clear the way as a lead block. You know, I mean, like, there's just so many things they can do with two big backs like that. It reminds me of what, you know, the Job Whalen, Malik Bell combination they had last year, but, you know, the blocking is still coming along.
Or you go back a year further and Jaquan and Jamal Thompson.
Yeah, we saw
Jaquan Anderson as great as an athlete as he was last year without Jamal Thompson. Mm-hmm. It's a lot tougher. It's just not nearly as easy. So, yeah, having that balance there where teams, you know, maybe they're stacking the box up a little bit. You get a good read on it, and you can break to the edge.
Certainly helps it out. I mean, if they get something going in the passing game with McLean, they get something going in the passing game with Miles Ward, you know, they'll have a little extra dimension that I think will make that even more powerful. But, I mean, that's a good Patrick Henry team, and they were able to kind of take them to the brink, rally all the way back and then take them to the brink. But obviously ends in a little bit of heartbreak. But like you said, these three games plus Louisa, brutal four-game start for Albemarle. If they can kind of keep their heads about them, kind of tweak some things, get some things going, you know, some other things going against Louisa, you know, they could be looking at a really big push to finish the end of the year.
Yeah. And the other guy that deserves to be sort of spotlighted here, Flubana County with a big win over Madison County, getting almost all of that in the third quarter. Demetrius Christmas had himself a game. 16 carries, 236 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 75-yard kickoff for return. First play of that second half. He was absolutely electric in the second half. Things were pretty quiet in the first half. They made some adjustments, Flubana offensively. That was one they had to have. It pushes them over 500. That's where they need to be as a program heading into district play. Just a huge sort of swell of momentum for them coming into this week now, and doing it behind Christmas, who was just, I mean, they could not tackle him. He was an absolute beast.
Before the season, their offense coordinator, Joe Gray, said that they went like 4 or 5 deep at that fullback spot.
Yeah.
And they just had options. And this wasn't a guy, you know, Christmas is not a guy that I knew, a lot about. But he was in this list of guys that they kind of built that they knew were options. And then, you know, it may be a different guy every week, but this week it was Christmas's week and he really took advantage.
Yeah, and Flubana, that's a team that's going to ride a couple different hands, whether it's Prophet Harris or Demetrius Christmas. They've got more guys than they've had. That's a luxury that team hasn't had in quite some time. So a lot of times it's just sort of riding one, a bell cow into the ground. And I think that limiting touches, that's going to keep people healthier. It's also going to keep them fresher. I think it's just a sort of a good situation over there in the backfield of Flubana.
So when you look, you flip over and defensive player of the week, it goes to a guy who we didn't get a chance to talk last week because all hell broke loose as far as the weather went. Yeah. Schedule went nuts. But Blue Ridge went 1-1 during that span, played a really, really tough Flint Hill team, played a pretty good and a much improved Hargrave team, and that kind of took them a little while to put them away. Cameron Cooley, huge defensive performance for them. And just run it down for us a little bit.
Yeah, so in the game that you saw, you're talking about 11 tackles and a pass defended, 13 passes defended in that game, which you came away quite impressed with. And then the game that I saw him in, 9 tackles, 6 solo and a sack against a very good Flint Hill team. A Division I program coming off a state title last year. So, pretty good numbers, especially that game was getting dicey there, body count-wise. Blue Ridge was on the sidelines hurting, and so they needed someone to step up and make plays. And it's in a blowout loss, but you got to be happy with the effort and just the overall sort of put your nose to the grindstone kind of thing.
Yeah,
for Cooley.
And that's twice now that they've had a lot of injuries that have kind of stacked up. That, to me, sometimes if those injuries are minor down the road, that can help you because you have better depth. You have things that you can go to. But I really like a lot of what I've seen from the defense from them so far. Like you said, Flint Hill is just that one's just not going to be – that's a really, really tall mountain to climb. It's just a really difficult one. So pretty impressive performance all the way around for Blue Ridge despite going 1-1. Hopefully they can kind of keep things going now as they kind of move through the rest of their schedule. So we've got, you know, when you kind of look at the big picture here and step back a little bit, this has not been the strongest out-of-district stretch for local teams. We've seen the losses kind of pile up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we're 4 weeks into it. Most of the teams have played three games, and it was an early trend that we sort of picked up on. Like, okay, that was a bit of a tough week, and then you have a second one, and then a third one, which we didn't really get to talk about much. And then last week was just not kind at all. And so we just started crunching the numbers, adding them up, and if you look at the what's going on right now, we're talking about teams that are 17-32 against out of district opponents. That's not good.
17-32 is not what you're looking for.
You take out Goochland and Louisa's seven wins, and now you're dipping even lower. So I mean, now you're down to 10 wins in 4 weeks of play. You know, 3 weeks because a lot of teams had a bye. It's been really hard. I mean, some of these are this is what happens when you schedule Flint Hills. This is what happens when you schedule Colonial Forge and Mountain View.
And people should schedule hard. You have to schedule hard because in years where you're playing really well, that is going to be an incredible test. In points, it might matter. Just in generally learning something about your team, you're going to get something out of it. So not every loss is a bad loss, but we're just saying that the trend overall, there's a lot of losses.
I think all these teams are really excited to get into district play, playing opponents that they're familiar with. There aren't too many new coaches this year, so these are all programs that they know what they're getting into. And it's familiarity is a really good thing for them. Unless, you know, if you're an Alamo team, it's not so great going into Louisa knowing what you've got against and on a short week. And I think that's the other thing to bring up is how the schedule was handled last week. I mean, some teams got lucky. If you're Louisa, you were on a bye and you dodged this entire thing.
Covenant is another good example of that.
It's like nothing happened last week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for other programs, they were able to adjust to it. Like, Goochland was not looking so great against Nottoway early on in that game, and then they pull away late and just do their Goochland thing. So some of the teams did quite all right with it. But, I mean, you look at some of the smaller rosters, that's a tough call for Madison County playing a larger Fluvanna school on 2 days of practice, basically. I mean, that's not a lot of time to prepare for what they need to prepare for. And now, so Albemarle gets that opportunity with Louisa. I mean, how do you sort of dole out those practices and prepare?
It's a week where you probably need everything to go just about perfect anyway. You need everything to kind of lock in. You need everything to be, the game plan to be tightened up. You need to be able to refine it. And you're just not going to get as much of a chance to do that. Sometimes that can be good. Maybe, you know, I think in Western's case, when they played Charlottesville, I think it was a positive in some ways. They hadn't had a lot of time to think about it. They just kind of had to go and execute and roll. And I think that seemed to help them in some ways. But that's a Western team that played pretty good against Lord Botetourt for a long stretch. They beat Broadway. Western's one of those few, that handful of teams that is above 500 right now and is looking pretty good. The other ones, what do we got? We got Goochland, Louisa, Fluvanna, Western.
That's it, yeah.
And then you got, you know, Woodbury's at 500. They've only gotten two full games in.
Yep, Blue Ridge at 500. Yep.
Yeah, Blue Ridge at 500. Or no, Blue Ridge is actually 1-2 now. They played NSA and Flint Hill.
Yep.
So, you know, a lot of teams are kind of sitting on that cusp where we don't really know enough about them. But we got a pretty good idea of who a lot of these squads are. And now we're going to dive into, you know, we already have one Jefferson District game under our belt between Western and Charlottesville. And now we're going to kind of jump into, you know, a full slate of them over Friday and Saturday, where you've got, you know, Fluvanna Monticello, you've got Powhatan Western, you've got Orange versus Charlottesville, and you got Louisa Albemarle. You take those four games, things could look very different next week, but, you know, you got to feel pretty good about where Louisa is. They've proven that they can do it. They're playing really well.
They're the one known commodity, I'd say, offensively, defensively, you know, sort of both sides of the ball. Seeing that Noah Robinson have a huge week for them in week three has to sort of sound more alarms off. It's like, how many more dudes can they have? I mean, so now you've got the receiver involved there. They already got Mark Carter.
Tall.
I mean, Allender's just played so well at quarterback. Mm-hmm. You didn't anticipate them having this kind of quarterback play with a brand new quarterback like that. And then, guess what? Jared Hunter and Caleb Shelton are, you know, tearing up 300 yards a game combined.
Trying to move the ball on offense.
And that's one side of the ball. And then the other side of the ball, I mean, that's a team, I think four out of the first six drives for the opposition week three were three and outs. Louisa's defense, I mean, they've got three interceptions, two forced fumbles.
They're not there to just get by. They're there to be a weapon. They're there to change how the game is played.
Yeah, and they're not giving up touchdowns. We'll see with their schedule. You know, maybe you ask the same questions about their schedule you do with Albemarle. You know, how good is Forge? We think Forge is really good. With Louisa, you ask, how good is Cortland? Mm-hmm. It's the playoff team last year that they roughed up again. So we'll keep an eye on that going forward. But Louisa, so far, I mean, really the story in the first 4 weeks is we got Louisa and Goochland up here, and where is everybody else? Because we've seen flashes from Orange. That first drive against Eastern View is really impressive against a very good team. And then they have a tough one against Spotsylvania. I mean, losing a game when Jalen Alexander has 160-some yards, or 180, I think it was.
And turnovers have been a common thread through a lot of these.
Yeah.
You know, that caught Almar with it. If Almar cuts the turnovers in half against Patrick Henry from 5-2 or from 5-3 even, they win that game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if Charlottesville cuts their turnovers down against Harrisonburg, they're right there in it. If they cut down their turnovers against EC Glass, they're right there in it. Like, I mean, all these things, yeah, they look like blowouts or they look like bad losses, but like turnovers can take a game and just change things. You got to take care of the ball. You got to get two hands on it when you're inside, you know, in between the tackles. You got to get two hands on it when you're in the red zone. You got to protect and you got to take care of it. And if you don't, teams are going to make you pay. There's just no getting around it. Defenses are too good right now. They're well schemed. You know, they're going to be ready for that kind of thing. And you maybe want to fight for that extra yard or two, but like sometimes like you're going to win the war by kind of giving up that battle.
Yeah, picking your spots.
Yeah, so a really big, you know, that's one thing that we're going to want to keep an eye on is whoever can take care of the football in the Jefferson District is going to have a lot better shot at kind of taking care of business and picking up some wins. You know, and that Albemarle is going to have to fix that right away against Louisa. Orange is going to have to fix it against Charlottesville because Charlottesville has enough offensive firepower with Sabias Foley to make you pay.
And we've seen of all the Jefferson District teams, every team's got a guy that you have to worry about. So it's really the secondary option.
Yeah, let's run it down real quick.
If you look at Orange, you've got Jalen Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Western, you got Austin Shiflett doing a good job over
right there.
Over at Charlottesville, you got Sabias Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Over at Albemarle, you got DeConjay Taylor.
Yeah. Throw in Makai Washington, too. Yeah, I don't want to mess with either of those guys.
Yeah, after last week over at Flubana, you're looking at Demetrius Christmas.
Prophet Harris is pretty darn good.
Yeah. And you slide over to Louisa, and we just mentioned all their
guys.
Pick
up
any four of them. They've got a ton of different things to work with. But that's the difference. They've got a ton, and everybody else has got one. So can that one sort of push you over the top, or can you develop the secondary options you need to sort of really highlight their play and build off of it, you know, sort of riding the coattails of the hard work there.
And so, you know, you're also looking at, you know, a really big chance this week. This is kind of, you know, they talk about moving day on the PGA Tour. Like, you got to move up and get yourself in position to compete for a championship. This might be moving week in a lot of ways. Like, this is right before we really hit the true middle part of the season. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a critical week for teams that if they want to get things on track or they want to get back on track, this is the chance to do it in a big way. So a lot of teams with a lot, you know, a lot going on that need a shot, that need a chance to kind of do it.
They're feeling the crunch now. The first 3 weeks are sort of a preseason built into the high school system, and now you're up against it. These wins really, really start to add up, or losses.
Yeah.
The focus has to be there. You can only make excuses, but for so long, until you decide, you know, we're just not playing very well right now. That's the bottom line, or vice versa. We're doing great, and we just need to keep doing exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun to see kind of how this shapes up for a lot of teams locally. Is there any, you're getting a chance to go out there and see Buckingham play. How excited are you kind of see what they're working on out there?
Yeah, well, that was a team, like, coming out of the season last year. I mean, they started off really tough. Their schedule was front loaded, and then they won out. And you know, at a 5-5 team that missed out on the playoffs in a playoff format where we had some 2-8 teams making it, seemed kind of funky. But that's just sort of the way their region worked out. And they've just sort of been up against it. They've dealt with some injuries early on. That when you're a 2A program, one injury in the backfield can mean all the difference. And
also mean two players because that's so often.
Playing on both sides. Ways. So we hope to see Gary Toney get back at Buckingham. But Xavier Copeland and a lot of these guys, there's Buckingham has the options. We're going to see them this week. They got a Goochland game coming up as well. So that's a team to keep an eye on. In that greater James River District area, you're looking at it, and there's no reason they can't sort of run the table after sort of a tough go with Amelia early on. See how they stack up against the Nottoways and the Goochlands and so forth going ahead.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back with you next week to kind of break things down a little more, give you an idea. Hopefully, we're going to see some teams pick up a few wins. Certainly, we got
they'll be going 500 against.
They're going to 500 against each other. So this stat, that is the last week probably for this stat. We'll go ahead and retire this one. But we appreciate you listening, and hope that we're going to see some pretty exciting football in these next coming weeks.